That is good. Will you take your Bible, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians with me this morning, please, chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you'd like to stand as we read God's infallible Word. 1 Corinthians. If it's not the infallible, inerrant Word of God, why bother to read it or preach it? 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul addresses the church at Corinth and says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles." Note carefully. "And last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Father, in Thy name, I pray now, add the blessing to Your Word. Give me unction to preach it in Jesus' name. Give them ears to receive it, heart to receive it. In Thy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The Apostle Paul time and again made reference to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to, because there is no other doctrine in the New Testament that is so important for the rest of them to stand upon. Because there'd be no resurrection, there is no atonement. If there is no resurrection, there is no salvation. If there is no resurrection, there is no hope, there is no future, there is no forgiveness of sins. If there is no resurrection, the Word of God is a lie, and the ministry of Christ was all totally in vain by a deluded man who believed his own lies. If Christ be not risen, the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 15, then your faith is vain, and your loved ones are dead, and there's nothing waiting for you but a hole in the ground. If that's all there is waiting for you is a hole in the ground, and your loved ones are dead, there is no meaning to life. There is no reason, no purpose in you being here. Therefore, the resurrection of Christ gives meaning to life. It gives meaning to creation. It gives meaning to time and eternity. Without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no reason, no hope, no thing whatsoever that would give you a reason to live, because to live today, as the hedonistic says, the heathen says, I live today, I eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There are thousands that will lay their head on their bed tonight with that philosophy. That's it, all there is to it. I'm going to eat like a hog and die like a dog, and I'll go to the grave and I'll soon be forgotten, and that's all there is. I'm sorry, friend. Somebody has messed with your mind. For the Bible says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Some few years after the Lord Jesus Christ spent His earthly ministry, He lived for 33.5 years. He went to an old cross. He was beaten. His back was laid open with a cat of nine tails. He hung upon that tree for 6 hours. The earth turned dark from noon till 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock He bowed His head and said, Father, it is finished, and offered Himself unto God as a sweet-smelling savor. They took His lifeless body from the tree, laid it in a virgin tomb, and there for the next 3 days a guard was posted. So, my friend, no one could get out. Surely they wouldn't believe. Or no one could come in. Surely they wouldn't believe He would be trying to get out, because He was a dead man. And the Romans believed a dead man was a dead man. The Jews had Him dead. The Sadducee and the Pharisee had Him dead. And so, my friend, for 3 days His body lay in the tomb. But on the third day, early in the morning, early in the morning, came Mary Magdalene. And she came to the tomb. She came with spices. She came to seek out that one that she loved so much during His lifetime. Even if she had no more than a body, she wanted to be there to caress His body, anoint His body, and prepare it for the future. So Mary Magdalene, with all the love that someone could pour out,
came to that tomb early on that Easter morning. There never had been an Easter before that. There'll be no Easter after that, because that's the only one that really mattered. It was the morning that the man that was dead and been dead for 3 days, something happened to him inside that tomb. Now, people had been raised from the dead before, and people were raised from the dead afterward, but none like this one, because he was the representative man. There was no other like him. He was the God-man. He's the one at the cross who bore all the sins of mankind in his body on the tree, and they laid him in a virgin tomb. And when this one came forth from the dead on the third day, he arose from the dead, defeating death. He broke the power of death. He broke its back. He took the penalty of sin and death and hell and wrapped it all up and cast it into hell itself. For he arose the conquering hero. He arose the conquering Christ. He arose the Lord God Almighty. And when he saw the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, he said, "Look in my hand, John. I have the keys of death and hell. I have authority over death. I have authority over hell. It can't be taken from me, for I bought and paid for it with my own precious blood." And when he was raised from the dead on the third day, the Bible says he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. And because he lives, the Apostle said, "I live also." And my friend, I want to tell you something this morning, and hear me well. I do not worship a dead man. If he was dead, there'd be nothing to shout about today. If the Lord Jesus Christ was a deluded lunatic and dead, there'd be nothing happened to me in 1973 when I was 27 years of age. There'd be no power in his message. There'd be no power in his spirit. There'd be nothing left for us whatsoever if it was just a dead man that we're here to talk about today. There's a lot of religions that meet weekly and talk about dead people and their God died, and they talk about death. But my friend, death has no place where you've been born again. Death has been run. The Bible said, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" Oh no, friend. I want you to understand, when the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead on the third day, death had to turn loose of him. It couldn't hold him any longer. Its power over him was broken, and the chains of death fell away. The doors of death swung open wide, and the sunshine of the resurrected Christ, the God-man that will live forever, walked out of that hole. He walked out of that darkness. He walked out of that death. He walked out of that curse. He walked out of that place where he'd been laid for 3 days, and now to live forever. The life that he gave, the life that he had when he arose from the dead, he gives forth to all that believe in him. Everyone that would receive him as their Lord and their Savior, they have the life of the resurrected God-man. My, what a thing to think about this morning. He gives you the life he has now. He said, "I have life to give. As the Father hath life in himself, even so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." What life are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the life that died and was buried and rose again the third day. The life that has conquered death, hell, and the grave. I'll never see a grave. I'll never see death. I'll never see hell. That's all been taken care of with the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives me life that breathes. He gives me life that lives. He gives me life that has a future. He gives me life that is above sin. He gives me life that is above the curse. He gives me life that is above hell. He gives me life that is above all. It is the life of the resurrected Son of God. I thank God for that. I didn't come in here this morning to preach a dead man. I didn't come in here today to preach a tomb. We don't hang around tombs. We don't hang around death. My friend, we live. Every one of us that have been born again by the grace of God have something alive inside of us. We can't put it out. We can't snuff it out. We can't turn it on or turn it off. It's a life that is living. It's a life that will live forever. It's the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now this morning, my friend, there are those that didn't want him to rise. They had a vested interest in keeping him in the tomb. The Jews surely didn't want him to come up, because my friend, had Christ risen, it would have disproven all of the lies of the Jews. And so the Bible said they paid huge sums of money for the guards to go out and lie about somebody stealing his body. Didn't do him any good. And my friend, they couldn't produce a body. Never have, never will. If the Jews of the first century could have found a body, Christianity would have died before it ever broke was born. If they could have produced the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christianity would have ceased to exist. It all hinges on the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't want to see him rise, for the Bible said the Sadducee didn't believe in the resurrection. So he had a fair vested interest to see to it he stayed there. I'm sure that the Roman government, you know Caesar, he's always been around, always will be. We're dealing with Caesar today. I don't think Caesar really wanted him to rise either, because once he was crucified on that Roman cross, they figured they were done with this troublemaker. But they weren't done with him, friend. It just started. The cross didn't end anything. The cross was the door into everlasting life. My friend, I believe, my friend, that there are many that did not want to see him arise from the dead, including the devil. I believe all the demon spirits of hell had a vested interest in keeping him dead. You see, my friend, if Christ had not risen from the dead, he'd have no power over Satan. He'd have no power over the demons. He wouldn't be the resurrected one with authority. And then the one who, the Bible said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. No, it wouldn't have been given to him if he'd stayed upon the cross. So I'm sure the devils wanted to keep him there, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. You can lock that gate. You can roll a stone in front of it. I'll tell you something, friend. You can leave the stone in front of it. Once he arose from the dead, he walked right through the stone. When I read in that Bible about the Lord Jesus appearing to his disciples, the Bible said plainly they were in a room, and then all of a sudden he was in the midst. Nothing said about a door opening. He just showed up. There he was. So I'm sure there was others who wouldn't want to see him arise. Take that bunch of liberals today that teach you came from a monkey. They tell you you evolved into what you are. They reduce you to nothing more than a glorified animal. They take your dignity, your humanity, your identity away from you and make you nothing but a pile of junk. I'll tell you something, friend. Liberal, like it or not, he lives. He lives in glory, and he lives in my soul. I'll tell you something else. I believe that there's a standing this morning in the pulpits throughout the world, men preaching the resurrected Christ. I mean by the tens of millions. I believe there are millions upon millions that believe that he arose from the dead. It doesn't make any difference how much Darwin's preached in the public school. It doesn't matter how much Darwin's preached in the colleges. It doesn't make any difference how much Darwin's preached in the government. You're not going to put back in the grave one who arose from the dead. He lives, friend, and you can't change that. And they're going to have to deal with it, my friend, and there's not a thing they can do about it. But there were some who wanted him to rise. They wanted him to rise. And the first one that I can think about is Mary Magdalene. She showed up at that tomb that morning. That Bible said seven devils had been cast out of her. How many of you ever had a devil cast out of you? I had plenty of them cast out of me. I was full of hell in 1973 when God saved me. I was full of hell, but he saved me. Mary Magdalene came to that tomb. Where else would she go? That was the most important place on earth. She wanted to see him one more time, if nothing else than to anoint his body. And here she came, and what a surprise was waiting upon her. Into the tomb she looked at the place where his body lay. There were men in white apparel. Something strange going on here. What's happened to my Savior? Where's his body? Have you carried him away? What have you done with him? And then she hears a voice. You heard that voice. Have you heard that voice? Have you heard your name from the mouth of the Son of God? Mary. Whoa! He said, Mary. That's all it took. My sheep know my voice. And a stranger, they'll not hear. That changed everything. When she heard her name from the lips of the Son of God, the one that was dead, and now he's speaking again. Something big's going on here, Mary. Something mighty powerful has happened at that tomb. She turned around and looked at him, still in amazement, still not fully comprehending what was going on that morning. And she said, have you taken my master away? Let me know, where have you laid him? What have you done with him? Mary, Mary. He didn't have to tell her what he'd done. He didn't have to tell her where he'd been. He didn't have to explain anything. All he had to do was say, Mary. There are some things that you don't need explanations. There are some things that you don't need words. It's just the voice of the Son of God. The Bible said the day will come when all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. They will hear His voice. His voice will penetrate to the deepest hell. His voice will reach into heaven. And His voice will reach to the human heart. And boy, did He have her heart. Rabboni. Master, teacher, she said. It came from her soul. Deep down inside her. Have you ever talked to Him like that? When He talked to you? When He said your name? Have you ever heard your name from the mouth of the Son of God? I have. And I say, Master. I say, Lord. I say, Lord God. I say, my Savior. I say, Jesus. I say, Lord Jesus Christ. And so she said, Rabboni, Rabbi, Teacher, Master, Lord. My friend, there was another one who wanted to know. Had He risen from the dead? That was the one who turned away and said, I don't know Him. I don't know what you're talking about. This ain't working out the way I figured it was going to work out. There's something bad going wrong here. This all messed up. This is going wrong. I don't know what you're talking about. The woman pressed the issue and said, oh, I know you. I've seen you. You're one of the 12. You were with Him. He said, shut your mouth, woman, and cursed and blasphemed. So I don't know what you're talking about. And so the Bible said, the cock crew. It crew the third time. And my friend, when it did, Peter, the Bible said Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He found him a tree somewhere. You ever been under one? Found him a log somewhere. He got in a room and closed the door. He got alone with God. He started pouring out his soul. He started saying, Lord, I've walked awful high, but now I've hit the bottom. I thought I was a great man of faith, till my faith was really tried. And he hit bottom, and he hit hard, and he denied his Lord. And he wept bitterly. You can't put on those kind of tears. They're not alligator tears. They're the tears of the soul that cries out to God and said, Lord God, I failed you. I failed you miserably. And wept bitterly. But I'll tell you one thing. When that angel of the Lord appeared at the tomb and the others had gathered around, he gave them instructions. He said, go find Peter. Go find him. You know where he is. He's out there somewhere. He's sitting out there at a bar, soaking up the suds. He's out here in some hellhole. He can't handle what he's done. He failed you. He broke your law. He hit the bottom. But that angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter. The Bible, not the Bible, but tradition teaches. And there may be truth in it, I don't know. That when Mark wrote his gospel, that Peter sat right at his shoulder. And Peter sat right at the shoulder of Mark as he wrote his gospel. And made sure that he put the part in there about him denying the Lord. The old Simon Peter. He wanted him to know. He wanted you to know he denied him. My friend, I want you to know something. That resurrection life is full of forgiveness. It's full of restoration. Go tell Peter! And boy, they told him. And when they told him, he came running. He came running! The Bible said he girded up his loins. He took that cloth that was wrapped around him and pulled it up where he could run. He ran to the Lord. Go tell Peter that he's arisen from the dead. My, what a blessed thing it is. Now, my friend, you've got to make a decision. This is 2010. You have to choose in your heart and in your soul. Do you believe that he lives? Or is it just so much religious fantasy? As your government and as your school system and as your pop theology and pop philosophy and pop culture would have you believe that Jesus Christ is just one more religion among many. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The Lord Jesus Christ shares His glory with no one. He is either all there is or He's nothing to any of them. Amen, amen. Amen. This inclusivism, this relativism, this idea that, well, if it's good for you, fine, it may not be good for me. If it's right for you, fine, it may not be right for me. And on it goes. When, therefore, when you're finished with it, nothing matters and nothing stands and nothing has any meaning and there's no absolutes in anything. I hope you haven't been sucked into that. Jesus Christ is alive. Let me tell you what happened in 1973. The one who arose from the dead, I've never seen with my eyes. I've never seen Him. Not with these two eyes. But boy, did I ever feel Him. When the Holy Ghost moved in. You see, I had unholy ghost in me for 27 years. And then the Holy Ghost moved into me. And when He came into me, He brought a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And He's made Him resurrected and real every day since then. Every waking moment of my life, I believe that Christ arose. He lives. And He's coming again. Now for just a moment. There was the life that Christ had in eternity past. That was the life of the God of the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Always the Son of God from everlasting to everlasting. Then there was the life 2,000 years ago when God became a man, incarnate in flesh. That was His earthly life. He lived that life for 33.5 years. Then He died. His death was as real a death as any death. The fact is, His death was the consummation of all deaths. His death was the death. But on the third day, He arose from the dead. The life that He lived in the flesh, we no longer know Him after that. When He arose from the dead, He arose with conquering life, with resurrection life, with life-giving life, with holy life. The life of the Son of God. Second man, last Adam. And that can be your life. That can be your life. You can have that life right now. You can believe on Jesus Christ and you can be born again. And the moment you are, something will happen inside you that you couldn't explain, you had no knowledge of before. It'll be hard for you to explain. It's just that you'll know there's something going on in here. Something's real. It's not just a matter, well, now I believe all this stuff. I'm glad you believe something, but that's not the issue. That's not a bunch of stuff you believe. It's what has taken place inside. Your heart has changed. There's somebody alive in you that was not in there before. That's the new birth. And that's what He offers us. You've heard it said so many times before, and I'm going to say it one more time. If you read in the paper where Charles Lawson has died, you call that editor of that newspaper up and say, now look, you got a pretty good paper, but you're telling a lie. Charles Lawson won't die. He can't die. It's impossible for him to die. Flesh goes back to the ground, but I'm not the flesh. How many of you would like to have the same body you're in right now 1,000 years from now? Raise your hand. So you understand inevitably something's going to happen to that flesh, right? Imagine if Adam walked down the aisle and stood up here on the stage before you turned around and you looked at Adam and he was 6,000 years old in the flesh. Imagine what he'd look like. Your flesh is doomed. It's just a temporal body. It's a tent. It's here today and gone tomorrow. That's not who you are. I've been to the graveyard more times than I'd like to think. I have buried many, 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 many bodies down through the years. Sometimes it rip your heart out. Carry little caskets this size out to the graveside. Go out there with little teenage bodies. That's hard stuff, man. But I have never carried anybody to the graveyard. Just their body. There's nothing in that body. It's an empty shell. Empty as it can be. They're gone. They're not here anymore. Where are you going when your name is called? And your name will be called. If the Lord doesn't come back soon, are you ready? You can have the Son of God because He said, any man comes unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You don't have to tell me what you've done. Tell Him. And I'll guarantee you, whatever you've done, He forgives. He tasted death for every man. He'll forgive you and cleanse you. Write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Would you bow your head for a minute, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. I delivered what you put on my heart. And thank you for being with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Father, I pray for everyone in this house today, and those especially who do not know you. They don't know you, Lord. Maybe some of them would like to know you. Maybe some of them are confused. Maybe some, Heavenly Father, have been filled full of religion. They can't find their way. Lord, you know. God, you know. That's not my work. I'm the voice. I'm just the preacher. That's your work, Holy One. And I pray the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon every heart in this house and make Christ real and alive to them and convince them and convict them and lead them to the Lord Jesus in thy holy name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody looking. Anybody in this house raise your hand this morning and say, Preacher Lawson, don't you pray for me because I'm not sure if I'm saved or not, and I'm been confused, and I've been got off in a cult or a false religion, and it's got me all messed up, and I don't know what I'm doing. Anybody in here like that? Anybody like that? Anybody? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. All right. It can happen to you, folks. It can happen. They've got a powerful, powerful way of leading people into that stuff. Anybody in this house this morning would raise your hand and say, Preacher, won't you pray for me because I know I'm not saved. I know I'm not. I know I'm not. I know I'm not saved. Anybody? Anybody raise your hand in this house this morning and say, Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I know I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord. And you're wasting time. God bless you. Hands going up everywhere. I know I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord. You know He loves you, don't you? You know what it is to taste of the good world to come? You know what it is to have His hand on your soul? You know how good He's been to you? You know that. I don't have to tell you. He's a good God, folks. He's a good God. He was a good Lord before I ever showed up. He doesn't need me to tell you He's good. Let me ask you a question today. Why halt you between two opinions? Elijah said that. I'm just quoting Elijah. Why halt you between two opinions? If Baal is God, serve Baal. Tell me something. What's it gotten you to serve Baal? What's it gotten you to serve the world? But Elijah said, if Jehovah is God, serve Him. If the Lord is God, serve Him. Won't you come back to Him today and start serving Him again? Give Him your life again. You're the only one who can do it. Nobody can do it for you. But you can come back to Him this morning and say, Lord Jesus, by the grace of God, hallelujah. I know You love me and I failed You. But You promised that if I confess my sin, You're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You'll kill the fatted calf. The father had two sons. You know that parable? You've heard it time and again. One son wasted his living on riotous living, but he came back. He came to himself. And the father saw him coming afar off. That meant he was looking for you. Hallelujah. Is the father looking for you this morning? Come back to him. Come back to him. Come back to him. Come back to him. Hey, don't you want to sit down at the king's table again? Don't you want to come back in the king's house? That's where you belong. You know who you are. You know who you are. You know your identity. You know you're never going to be happy. And you're sure not going to have any joy till you come back to the king's house. Because you belong to him. He's your father. And he won't turn you away. He's standing here with his big hand uplifted right now, ready to put it on top of your head and bless you when you come back to him. Anybody else? Holy One, I give you the service and I bless thy sweet holy name. You've been good to me, Lord. I bless thee and I exalt thee this morning. In Jesus' sweet name I lift thee up. In thy holy name I pray. Sister Brewer, come back and sing that Children of the Dust for us one more time. Think about what, listen carefully to the words of this song. Children of the Dust out among the stars. You see what I'm saying? Coming from the dust, dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return, he said in the book of Genesis. That's the curse. If you ever expect to be more than dust, you're going to have to meet the Lord God Almighty through His Son, the Lord Jesus. Then He'll make a son of God out of you. Hallelujah. Mephibosheth, brought out of Lodibar, brought into the king's palace, sat down at the king's table and ate the king's meat. Hallelujah. Won't you come? Bless the name.
Soon we'll hear the call to rise.
And I hope it's
the world to know. When the time has come, the Lord will leave his throne.
Leave his throne. My.
And when we hear the shout,
yes,
we'll leave from where we are.
Children of the dust.
Children of the dust. Out among the stars. Then the grave
will be
open and the
I've buried an awful lot of people that I love
and
respect.
Rise,
and I want to see that.
We'll be changed forever.
I want to see that day.
When we see him in the sky.
Come, Holy One.
Where all
come, Living One.
The saints will gather some broken bent and battle scars.
Children of the dust.
Children of the dust. Out among the stars.
Is all well with our soul?
When he calls my name, then I'll be on my way.
Amen.
Past the moon,
yes, amen,
and clouds and through the Milky Way.
Yes.
And I'm sure we'll be amazed that we have come this far. Children of the dust,
out among the stars,
out among the stars.
My.
Then the graves will open and the sainted dead will rise.
If I could lock the doors and push a button and say, we're gone. And I hope you got done what you needed to get done. We're leaving here. Wouldn't that be wonderful? What's that, brother? Yeah, are you mad? Sister, I know about your, I've heard I got the email about your aneurysm. Sister Henderson. She can't hear me. I've been praying for her.